The standoff between Western ships and Somali pirates continues this week, with four more vessels and more than 60 crew members having been taken hostage and an unsuccessful attempt to take over an American cargo ship, the Liberty Sun, this morning. The actions come in response to the shooting deaths of three Somalis by the U.S. Navy on Sunday during the rescue of American Captain Phillips. President Obama has vowed to crack down on the growing attacks by Somalis on mostly Western trade ships in the Indian Ocean. But the president has resisted labeling the attackers as terrorists, as his predecessor George W. Bush did, opting instead to use the term pirate. Foreign governments have taken advantage of Somalia, which has been without a functioning government for two decades. On the one hand, European ships have been stealing fish from Somali waters to the detriment of the local fishing industry. And on the other hand, European ships have also been illegally dumping waste, likely nuclear waste, into the ocean near Somalia, causing severe health problems. The local population supports the so-called pirates, likening them to a de facto coast guard. Joining us live from Kenya now is Salim Lone. He's a political writer and commentator. Welcome to Uprising, Salim.
Hi, good evening.
Good evening. Thanks so much for joining us. Let's first talk about where Somalia itself is as a country. I mentioned European companies have been taking advantage of the lack of a functioning government. They've been dumping nuclear waste and overfishing. Can you add a little bit to that and tell us exactly what that means in the context of the piracy, the so-called piracy scandal?
Sure. I mean, I think first let me say that Somalia is a critical country in Africa, and it has also been responsible for a key element of the Clinton doctrine. After the U.S. intervened very foolishly in 1993 in trying to hunt down IDs, the guerrilla leader, the 18 Americans who were killed and dragged through the streets in Black Hawk Down, as that famous film had immortalized. After that, the Clinton White House decided that they would not risk the lives of American soldiers in distant places which were not strategic to the interests of the United States. And therefore, we saw Rwanda's genocide take place in full view of the Clinton administration and in full view of the world, and nothing much was done to stop it. I'm afraid that while it is completely understandable that force was used to rescue the American captain, that is very understandable, of course, by killing three Somalis, I think any further escalation by the Obama administration would be extremely dangerous. It would open another front of the war against a Muslim country. They're already worried that by escalating troop levels in Afghanistan, President Obama is losing some of the momentum for change that he had promised in relations with the rest of the world. So Somalia is an extremely fragile state. The point that you made, come back to the issue of fish being taken illegally and waste being dumped. Because there is no functioning government in Somalia, there has not been for nearly 20 years, the advanced countries have plundered the seashore for whatever they can. And it is the lawlessness in Somalia that is the cause of so much violence that you see. And this violence is not restricted to Somalia. You will recall that the second most terrible terrorist attack in the world after 9/11 in terms of casualties was the one against my own country, Kenya, where the U.S. embassy was bombed, but most of the 240 or so people who were killed were actually Kenyans. And those who carried out that bombing were neither Somalis nor were they Kenyans. These were other terrorists who were able to operate and plan freely in Somalia. And the goal of Western nations, especially the major ones like the United States, if they want to diminish terrorism and extremism, they must work towards creating the end of lawlessness in Somalia.
Salim, let me ask you specifically who these so-called pirates are. There have been some commentaries recently about the so-called pirates and the fact that they're acting as a de facto coast guard, at least some of them. I mean, certainly not all of them might be noble, but that in the absence of a functioning government, that it's only the pirates who are sort of fighting back, if you will, against the dumping of the waste and the fishing. Is the population supportive in Somalia of the so-called pirates? And do they play any kind of a positive role?
Well, I think we should be careful not to romanticize these pirates. I think on the whole, these are groups which want to make money. They're like businessmen. They see themselves as using, you know, free enterprise as a way to make money. It's a risky way to make money, but I think we should keep in mind that virtually never have they ever killed a hostage. They take hostages, like, you know, to get ransoms. They do not take hostages to kill them. And so any the escalation that we've seen now with the killing of these should not be allowed to get out of hand, number one. But to come back to your point, it is absolutely true that there is a lot of support for these pirates because they portray themselves sometimes correctly, I guess, but on the whole, I believe that is not their main function, to act as a coast guard. They do this to make money.
Now,
pay, as you know now, mm-hmm. a part of what they take as so-called tax to the Shabab, which is the successor so-called regime, I would guess, to the Islamic Courts Union, which the Bush administration toppled. And that is what I want to highlight again, the issue of lawlessness. When the Islamic Courts Union came to power in 2006, in the middle of 2006, and they brought a level of stability that had not been seen in Somalia for 15 years, and most of the leaders of the Islamic Courts were moderate. But the Bush administration, because it had its own goals in Somalia, as it did in Iraq, Somalia is a very strategically placed country and has oil and other resources as well. The Bush administration decided that they would topple that so-called government because it was not going to take dictation from the United States on how to conduct its policies. And it was a disaster. We saw what happened after 6 months of relative peace in Somalia. The Ethiopians invaded, and the U.S. Was, of course, strategically placed to support that invasion, and, of course, it attacked Somalia a number of times itself. And the result is what we saw. The population was radicalized because a moderate, admittedly Islamic government had been toppled, and a so-called enemy, Ethiopia, had been brought in to restore so-called peace.
Salim, we only have a minute left. I want to bring up the issue of what you brought up, which is the violence. The pirates, so-called pirates, have never really killed the hostages they've taken. But now that the U.S. Navy went in, killed three or five of their men, they're promising retaliation. This could escalate things. Where do these so-called pirates get their weapons? They have very high-tech weapons. Where are they getting their weapons? And could there be a better way for the Obama administration to handle this in the short term than shooting its way out of the problem?
Sure. Well, first of all, getting weapons is no problem for people who have money. Absolutely no problem. Somalia is awash with weapons. So that's easy to answer. But the more important question you pose is for President Obama. And I would say just categorically, engage the Shabab. The Shabab might do these are a young force composed partly of extremists and partly of radicals, who have actually no axe grind beyond Somalia. They are not perpetrating any acts of violence and terrorism outside Somalia. We must engage such groups. They have shown that they have the power and the support to control most of southern Somalia. The U.S. must, and Obama in particular, given all what he promised, he must engage with the Shabaab, just like he should engage with the Taliban. Forces which have support on the ground and which represent a face of political Islam, they are a reality to contend with. We don't want to create more extremists by taking actions, by creating new crises, by creating new wars.
Well, Salim Lone,
we're
going to have to leave it there. I want to thank you very much for joining us today. Salim Lone, political writer and commentator based in Kenya, which neighbors Somalia. For Sonali Subversive Thought for the Day, Albert Hubbard once said, "Forbid a man to think for himself or to act for himself, and you may add the joy of piracy and the zest of smuggling to his life."